Amen. Praise the Lord that we have an answer for everything, really, in the Word of God. Oh, wow. First message this morning. We've heard from him already last night, Brother Francois Surrett, and thankful that he took the spot. Now, if you're looking in your book, it's been changed up. Most of us know that Pastor Richard Chalabert could not be with us as he is laid to rest his dear wife. And so he had asked to, he said, I'll try to make it, but I don't know. And so I asked Brother Surrett if he would be willing to do that, and he said yes. And so if he's in the building somewhere, come on up.
Right in front of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Eccles, for the opportunity. It's a privilege and honor and hard shoes to fill, Brother Chalabert. We pray for him in his time of sorrow. Enjoy the singing. Thank you for the song leader. In Jesus' conquering name, which goes really well with the conference title. More than conquerors through Christ, which loves us. Let's pray. As you turn to Genesis chapter 37, we're going to read some verses in 37 and 39 of Genesis, looking at Joseph's tests by adversity, amongst other things. And may God bless you. May God bless his word to our understanding this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can open the book, the word of God, the Holy Scriptures. And Lord, we pray that you will bless your word to our understanding. It would permeate our heart. It would set our feet in a good direction. And Lord, I pray that you will challenge us in areas where we need to be challenged. And Lord, that we would rejoice in what you are doing, in what you can do, in what you will do. And we thank you, Lord, that there is victory in Jesus. We praise you, we thank you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Genesis chapter 37. So I'm going to flick around a little bit. Verse 18 and verse 20 to start with. Son of Jacob, Joseph. A lot of calamity in his early years. Yet a man who had a heart for the things of God. Reading from verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Verse 20. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast have devoured him, and we shall see what will come or become of his dreams. Down to verse 23, And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colours that was on him, and they took him, and they cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Verse 28. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Verse 36. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Go to chapter 39 now, please. Verse 1 and 2. Pardon me. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him by the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." Verse 10 to 15. And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass after about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spoke unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came unto me to lie with me." And I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me, and he fled and got him out. Verse 19. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed his mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. A plot to kill him and to cover it up. He was mocked. He finds himself stripped of his coat, this coat of honor that his jealous brothers. He was cast into a black pit, a place of death. He was sold, forsaken by his brothers. That's what he went through. Forsaken by his brothers. Sold as human cargo in chains. Psalm 105. Please flick over. Verse 17 and verse 18. Psalm 105, verse 17. And he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron. Sold as human cargo. We don't know how long he was in chains for in the desert. Attacked by temptation. Then he was falsely accused of a sin that he didn't commit. And finally cast into the king's prison. For some time. And during all that, it seems that Joseph just went along and he was just waiting and patiently waiting on God. Psalm 44, please. Let's read from verse 15, Psalm 44. I want to enter into the psalmist's cry. We don't particularly know who the person who penned this is, but I think it expresses well the cry that we sometimes have. And I want to enter into his feeling here. his feeling of being forsaken. Psalm 44:15 down to 26. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and the avenger. All this is come upon us. Yet have we not forsaken thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from your ways. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of our heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest, or why do you hide your face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? Lord, have you forgotten us? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Can you feel the fear in his heart? Lord, we have not forsaken you. We've done nothing wrong. Our heart is right and our steps are according to your ways, the psalmist says. Lord, we've been broken. We're near to death. And for your sake, for your cause, Lord, we are being killed. We are being attacked all the day long. We are as sheep to the slaughter. We're like just being lined up for the kill. It's hopeless. It's no good. We're doomed. Defeated. That's the feeling here. That's the story here. It's like the Aussie cliche that says, you're killing me. For your sake, Lord, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Romans chapter 8, please. Let's read verse 35, 36, 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake are we killed all the day long? We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And the resounding answer is, not so. Nay, and in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The answer to the cry of anguish, the answer to, Lord, we're being killed, Lord, you've deserted us. It's like death. Where are you? It's finished. And the answer is a resounding no. You see that? Not so. Don't fear. Not at all. Not at all. And the next words need to be underlined or highlighted or noted. In all these things. No, but in all these things. In all what things? In all these calamities. In all these dangers. In the tribulations, the distresses, the persecutions, the famine, the want, the nakedness, you know, the dangers, the wars, the struggles, the fights. In all these horrible things, unsettling things, disturbing things, things that bring disillusion, we become disillusioned. In all these things, in all the things that Joseph went through, he was disowned by his very brothers. What did he say when he was down low in the pit? Something that really touches you, should. He said, brothers! What were they doing? Just feasting. Carrying on. His very brothers. Brothers shouldn't behave like that. Look at verse 18. Same passage. Romans chapter 8. Just get some context. For I reckon, like the good Aussie would say, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So there's a paradox there. Suffering and glory mixed together in a milkshake. Both suffering and glory, not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Appreciate the other preacher went there the other day. Last night, I think. Second Corinthians. No, but in all these things. Verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, confused, disorientated, but not in despair. Lord, we're persecuted. We suffer persecution. They that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, not abandoned. In the French text, it says, pas abandonné. Not abandoned. We are cast down. Whoops. Like that. But not destroyed. Not destroyed. Sometimes we feel destroyed. We think it's finished. That's what they were saying earlier. Hope it's still good, brother. Okay. Not destroyed. It's not the end. It's not finished. You know, until we... It's not finished.
Amen.
We're not destroyed. I like that little phrase. Often I'll say, I'm cast... We've been cast down, been gutted like a fish. But not destroyed. So what is the key here? The key is in the next verse. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's why. Always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Get used to it. We take up our cross daily. Bear it in your body, so that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. That's why. Amen?
Amen.
It's clear. What's the point? The point here that God's caution to us is to be is not to be afraid of our adversaries. Beg your pardon. And he would fight these difficulties for us. That's the point. He says he will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. See, he will make a way of escape. He will fight it for us. That's the point. In Joseph's adversities, he just made the most of his situation. Whether in prison, in the pit, well, I don't know what he did down there particularly, but in prison, in both prisons, in Potiphar's house, and certainly later. And he waited on God. There's a stillness about him. No wonder his two sons are made of two tribes. Later, we see that God took care of the details in Joseph, and he made him more than a conqueror. With all these things. Facing the trials of his life with the certainty that he wasn't alone. He was alone, but he wasn't alone, Joseph. There's not a lot of people in his life. Him and his lovely coat, brothers are off. He was alone, but he wasn't alone. Here's the principle. Just let go and let God. Please go to Exodus chapter 14. Verse 13 and 14. Exodus chapter 14. Israel faint. Just come out of captivity. Being pursued. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today.
Amen.
For the Egyptians who ye shall for the Egyptians who ye have seen today, he shall see them you shall see them again no more, forever. Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Just be still. Don't go anywhere. Just wait. Because the Lord shall fight for you. That's the principle. And in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Jeremiah chapter 1, please. Moving through, okay. I don't know how long I've got, but a couple more pages. Jeremiah chapter 1, and I want to look at verse 19. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee for a good reason. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to bring you salvation. And that's the only way, because I am with you, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. I am with thee. The Lord told Jeremiah that he was bringing armies against the rebellious Israelites. Not faithful Israelites. He was going to bring the armies against the rebellious Israelites as punishment for their disobedience, idolatry, mixing religions, synchronizing religions, an interfaith movement. But even then, they will not overcome you, because I am with you and I will deliver you, or I will rescue you. And in one instance, an entire army fled there. This is 2 Kings chapter 7. An entire army fled their own camp when God caused them to hear the sounds of a great attacking army. See, God had to do it. And the fainting Israelites were able to plunder the enemy camp and to provide for their families. Not only were they saved from an approaching army, but they actually benefited from the threat. And that's how they were more than conquerors. More. They just weren't only saved. They benefited from it. And they didn't deserve it. The whole circumstance was a punishment. But then God made them more than conquerors. Yea or nay, but in all these things, you are more than conquerors. We need to settle something in our heart. I believe this. Two things. Firstly, we need to understand the truth that God uses hardships and even battles and difficulties, adversities, all of it. God uses that to bring about blessing. It's a paradox. We don't understand how it works. So we've got to settle that in our heart. If we don't settle it in our heart, when the struggles come, yeah, we'll be faint and that's it. We'll just pass out. We have to settle it in our heart. What are we settling in our heart? We have to settle the truths in our heart. Otherwise, we fall prey to unbelief. And the second thing is we must believe it as truth. You know, we're not just having a bit of a time here. These are truths. These are eternal truths. This is foundational. These are foundational truths. Not just little stories. Foundational. We must settle it in our heart as truth, and we must believe it as truth. And once we see it from God and the Holy Spirit works in our heart and we accept it as truth, then every future human disappointment or trial will be able to be borne, bearing in our body the death of the Lord Jesus. And then we'll be convinced that, well, okay, this is all part of God's sovereign plan. I don't know why, I don't know how, I don't know when, but this is all part of God's sovereign plan. So, brethren, settle this in your heart. So when the stormy times come, your faith may be shaken, but not shattered. Paul came to that conclusion when he said, none of these things move me. I need to go there. Acts 20, 24. None of these things move me. None of what things? Yea, and all these things. All these things. None of these things move me, neither can I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. There's a dear couple in our church back in Mauritius, which were saved a long time back before we got there, and struggled for many years just moving from different churches, and not good teaching doctrine didn't help them. His name is Lupol and his wife's name is Françoise. And Françoise is a very devoted Christian lady, a prayer warrior. I want to share a little bit about her joy that she has. The joy of the Lord. Her father died as a teenager. Then years later, her sister died, giving birth to a child which lived at around age 30. Her only sister, she has another two brothers, one unsaved, one possibly saved, but he has emotional problems because of the death of the father. Then her twins were born, her and her husband. Twins were born. One went to be with the Lord. Then years later, her daughter, I think she only has one daughter, her name's Chloe. Her daughter had a terrible spinal problem which should have left her crippled. She spent 1 year in France in a hospital on a stretcher bed. Couldn't move. She had to stay still. And all the time her mother Françoise was with her. And I don't know, helping her, encouraging her, talking to her. And they didn't have a lot of money, and she was allowed to stay in the storeroom. That was her room for a year with her daughter in bed. A year later, her daughter survived this ordeal, and she's a dear lady, married to a good Christian man in France, Lyon in France. Then in 2003, well, rather after that, her son died. in a car accident. He was crossing the road with his surfboard. And that was just as she got home from France, seeing her daughter mended. Got home the day later, her son died, 16-year-old son. Then in 2003, you think that would be enough. Then in 2003, her husband gets Parkinson's disease. He's still there. You probably saw him yesterday on the screen. And to this day, he has fourth stage Parkinson's disease. Françoise is her carer, is his carer. What a life of struggle. But you wouldn't know it. Finishing her course or her race with joy. To be more than conquerors means to face the trials of life with the certainty that we are not alone. In fact, in my difficulty days, she and her husband would text me very often. They know how to minister to people who need ministering to, because they've been through those waters. And she will often say, Jesus is with me. We have a mighty Father who fights for us. We approach the darkest valleys with confidence, not fear. We can approach the darkest valleys with confidence. Yes, it hurts, but no fear. Knowing that nothing can happen to us that is not permitted by our loving Father for our good. More than conquerors through Christ, which loves us so. Psalm 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Even in the walk in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. No sin of ours, no attempt of the devil, and he will continue to attempt. No attempt of the devil can steal the loving care of God from our lives. Nothing can steal what we have with the Lord from our lives. What shall separate me from the love of God? Nothing. Not all these seven things mentioned, and then, as Brother said earlier, not all the following things that are mentioned. Nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ, from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Finish with a quote from a preacher, Charles Spurgeon. And it's titled, "The Minister's Fainting Fits." Charles Spurgeon devoted a chapter called "The Minister's Fainting Fits" about ministerial discouragement in his lectures to my students. And he said this, "Knowing by most painful experience what deep depression of spirit means, being visited therewith at seasons by no means few or far between, I thought it might be consolatory to some of my brethren if I gave my thoughts thereon, that young men might not fancy some strange thing has happened to them when they become for a season possessed by melancholy or difficulties." Spurgeon goes on to list several reasons for discouragements in the ministry, including, we are mere human. We are mere humans, and as such, compassed with infirmity and airs of sorrow. Most of us are in some way or other physically unsound. we've got to look after. Our work, when earnestly undertaken, lays us open to attacks in the direction of depression. You might argue that maybe despair. Who can bear the weight of souls without sometimes sinking to the dust? Have you ever borne the weight of souls? And if not, that's really a shame on you. Because we're called to bear the weight of souls. And once we bear that in our heart, the weight of souls, the need of souls to be saved, souls to be rescued, souls to be delivered, then we can go and do soul winning. Otherwise, you're just being a parrot. He says, our position in the church gives a sense of loneliness and isolation. There can be little doubt that sedentary habits have a tendency to create despondency. Now, the great preacher went on to warn that discouragement can hit us like in the hour of our greatest success. Before any great achievement. Or it can hit us in the midst of a long stretch of unbroken labour. Or when suddenly hit by one crushing stroke. What should we do? Be not dismayed by soul trouble. Count it no strange thing. But a part of ordinary ministerial experience. Ordinary. Cast the burdens of the present, along with the sin of the past, and the fear of the future upon the Lord, who forsaketh not his saints. Live by the day, by the hour. Put no trust in frames and feelings. Continue with double earnestness to serve the Lord when no visible results are before you. Come fair or come foul, the pulpit is our watchtower and the ministry our warfare. Be it ours, when we cannot see the face of our God, to trust under the shadow of his wings. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Maybe God has spoken to you some way, somehow, with some scripture, and some need. Then just take time to pray. Our loving Father, we thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ who loves us so. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, brother.